2017 is shortly going to be history. So I want us to think about tonight about some things that we ought to put first in the new year. It's a good time to recall some of those things. You may have thought about these in the past, but I want us to think about them tonight. Our brother did a very good job reading from Psalm 90, verses 9 through 12. And in that passage, he talks about really the brevity of life, that we may live to be 70 years old, we may live to be 80 years old. But again, when you compare it to eternity, that's just a little while. Really nothing, as I made mention of this morning. From Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul admonished those at Ephesus to redeem the time. If we look back over 2017, could we see some areas in which we could make some improvement regarding our time, the use of our time? No doubt we probably could each do that. And so I want us to think about some things that need to be put first in this upcoming year. We've talked about these in time past, but again, at the close of another year, the beginning of a new year, it's good to reflect on these and to think about these things. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, we are admonished, if we have been risen with Christ, raised with Christ, to set our affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. A good way to do that is found in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33. As you think about putting first things first, you know what that verse says? You could probably quote that without even turning over to that passage. We've talked about that numerous times. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And so in this upcoming new year, I want to encourage each of us, beginning with me all the way around the room, to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Put God first. As you make a list of priorities for the new year, I don't know if you make new year resolutions or not. A lot of people stay away from those because they're so easily broken. But if you make those, be sure to put God first on your list of priorities in this upcoming year. And so we need to think about those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. As you look back over this past year, where has God in spiritual things fallen on your list of priorities? Did you put it first, or did they just kind of get put on the back burner? Could we make some changes in the new year and purpose to do better along those lines? So as you think about putting first things first, put God and His kingdom first. It's amazing to me that some in our world today see the fault in everyone but themselves, for our second point. Knowing that the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 36, that there is not any that sinneth not. We know that in the New Testament the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. And so we all sin, we all do wrong, we all fall short. We all miss the mark from time to time, but yet there are people who seem to see the fault in everyone but themselves. We ought not be that way. The Bible says, "Judge not that you be not judged," Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. That does not mean that we are to not do any judging at all. That just simply means don't try to hold someone to a standard that you're not willing first to have applied to your own self. That's to be a hypocrite, by the way, as that context bears out. But as you think about that and putting first things first, I want to admonish you and encourage you and remind you of what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 42. A good way to curtail that, a good way to stop doing that, is to think about these words in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 42. He says, "Other, how canst thou say to thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye,' when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now watch what he says. "Thou hypocrite, cast out" what? "Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." And so we have no business, beginning with self all the way around the room, of trying to sweep someone else's front porch and neglecting to sweep our own house. And so in this upcoming first year, as we think about putting first things first, we need to take care of self so that we can clearly see how to appropriately admonish our brother. That's also seen in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, a similar statement to that. How are we doing on that? Many times, really we go to the extreme of the other direction, and we give little to no concern about others. We just kind of let things go and go and go without any admonition to do what's right. And the Lord's simply not teaching that. But He is teaching to take care of things with self first. The religious leaders had a problem with that. For point number 3. They had a problem with trying to tell everyone else what to do, but not take care of self. Now the Bible makes a distinction between the inner and the outer man. Did you know that? I'm sure you did. When you come over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, as we think about first things first. Begin with verse 1. He says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the conduct of the wives." The King James Version uses the word conversation. Some other versions may use the word conduct. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." And so again, he talks about that which is evident on the outside and that which is on the inside. And again, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, had a problem with that. Because when you come over to Matthew chapter 23, they were rebuked of the Lord for their hypocrisy at least 6 times. In this chapter, you see this phrase, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Remember that? Matthew 23 is chock full of that. So notice what the Bible says in Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. He says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee," now watch this, "cleanse," what's the next word? "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." So as we think about these things, to first seek the kingdom of God, to first cast out the beam out of our own eyes, and then number 3, first cleanse the inside, that the outside may be clean also. Again, reiterating the point that we need to take care of self first. Take inventory as we think about this past year and the beginning of a new year. How's our life been? I asked that question in the sermon this morning. How's our life now before the Lord? We need to think about that. And so as you think about first things first, where does that rank on your list? Are we so busy trying to meddle in the affairs of others that we neglect to see self in our own condition before God? I also want to give you another one, number 4 on our list. Being a Christian involves sacrifice. You agree with that? We know that it does. Over and over we are admonished to make sacrifices. A sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of self, a sacrifice of resources, and the list goes on with that. In Mark 8:34, the Lord said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me." That calls upon us to sacrifice. In Luke 9:62, the Lord said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit," you know the rest of that, "is fit for the kingdom of heaven." And so we need to think about those two things, and I'll give you a way to be able to better do that or to avoid doing those negative things of which we ought not do. And that's found in Luke 14 and verse 28. Luke 14, verse 28. This will help us to not put our hand to the plow and then turn back. This will help us to not take up the cross initially and then drop it along the way. Luke 14 and in verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it? There's not a doubt in my mind that one of the reasons why many initially follow the Lord and obey the gospel of Christ and then turn back is because they didn't sit down first and count the cost. And that's not just initially, but we need to continually do that. And so when this new year begins, and we purpose that we're going to put first things first, are we going to count the cost? What is this going to cost me? What am I going to have to give up? There's a good sermon that I love to not only hear it, but preach it. And that is Before You Decide. I don't think I've preached that here, but others can preach that certainly better than I can. But it is a sermon that will lather. Before you decide, some things that we need to give attention to. We may try to do that before too long. But also as we think about putting first things first, I talked with you about the sacrifice that has to be made. Paul talks about that some in Romans chapter 12. Under the Old Testament Jewish economy, they had animal sacrifices, right? Those sacrifices were taken and were killed. And then offered at trespass offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, and on and on and on. We don't have that under the New Testament law of Christ. But we still have sacrifices that are to be made. You know what our sacrifice is? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he talks about us being a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, but a living one. I just recently covered that, I think, on the radio or TV program. Now, we may look at that and say, how in the world can I be a living sacrifice? Well, that means that I yield myself, my will, to the will of the Father. He's not calling upon us to go out and to kill ourselves, commit suicide in service to the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. Some religious bodies teach that, but the Lord's not teaching that. But he is teaching that we're to be a sacrifice, not a dead one. It'd do us no good. It would do others no good, but a living sacrifice. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we be not conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he would say in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2. Now come with me for this point as we think about putting first things first to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And notice what Paul stated in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. The context of this was the fact that verse 4, that they praying us with much entreaty that they would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That's the context of that. Begin with verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. But notice verse 5 what they did as we think about first things first. And this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Will not be a living sacrifice if we're not first willing to give ourselves to the Lord. Have you done that? Have you already purposed that you're going to do that? Have you already done that? Having obeyed the gospel of Christ, in the same chapter, we read of another point that I want you to see. Nathan doing a good job standing before ministering the Lord's Supper this morning. Talked about the collection. Then it needs to be done with a willing mind. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. But in 2 Corinthians 8:12, notice what he says. For if there be first a willing mind, how's our heart and our mind relative to the things that we do? Not only in our giving and the things that we have the ability and the opportunity to do, but how's our mind relative to the work? We just recently had a sermon on that every man stood in his place. Remember that? It's not been that long ago. How's our mind toward the work? If we're not careful, things get dropped on the shoulders of one, two, maybe three, whatever the case may be for. I caution you not to let that be the case in the upcoming new year, but to bear the load equally. Right? As I look out among you this evening, there's not a one of you that ought to be doing more than what I'm doing. I ought not be doing more than what any of you are doing. Now, we like to prioritize things like that sometimes and say, well, let someone else do more and what have you. But that's not the way it ought to be in the body of Christ. And we have a skewed notion of the work when we think that person A, B, C, or X, Y, Z ought to be doing more than someone else. And there's plenty to be done. Ask some of these brethren if there's something that you might be able to help them with. There's plenty to be done. Plenty to go around. First, have a willing mind. I want you to come over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 4. We have a responsibility as individuals, as God's people, to do what we can for others. I think we recently made that point, but it bears repeating. Galatians 6:10 talks about that. James 1 verse 27 talks about that. By the way, that's of the individual. Now, there are liberal churches of Christ who would say and absolutely abuse and misuse that context and try to say that that is a collective action. But the text doesn't say that at all. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 4. Now, notice this. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first. Need to underscore that word first. To show piety at home and to requite their parents. Why should I be concerned about doing that? For that is good and acceptable before God. Let not the church be charged, right? God makes a distinction between what the church can do and an individual can do. We've had Bible classes on that. I put together a booklet on that for you, a little workbook on the work of the individual members of the local body, and others have taught on that topic. Let them first show piety at home. You have people within your house, within your family that you can help. We need to be busy about doing those things. Last one that I want to share with you. You think about first things first. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, but first go and learn what this meaneth, or go and learn what this means. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Peter stated in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And then he would state in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So there's no getting around the point that we need to learn and we need to grow. But those that the Hebrew writer wrote to hadn't done that, had they? As they should have. For one reason or another. But notice, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be, what's he say? First principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There's times when individuals say, you know what, I'm just tired of hearing simple sermons. Well, You might grow weary of that, but I'll suggest to you that we have no business talking about anything but first principles if the congregation to which it's being taught are not able to handle anything other than first principles. That's not to slight anyone. That's just the reality of it. And by the way, the preaching needs not be so complicated that people can't get a handle on it, from the youngest to the oldest. I think one of the best compliments that I can receive is people are going out the door when individuals tell me, if we can't understand that, there's a problem. That was so simple. The sermons I do are designed to be simple so that people can handle it, including themselves. First things first, the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018, what are we going to do? By the way, what's our vision for the work here? This is the last time I get to speak with you this year. What's the vision for the work here? There's a statement that is made in the Old Testament. I don't want to abuse that passage. But the people perish where there is no vision. There's some spiritual applications that can be made for that to that. You need to be planning ahead for the work, whether that's me or someone else standing before you in time to come. Ever be planning for what this next year is going to hold? There's some things that need to be done. You agree with that? You think there are some things that need to be done here? You think there are some things that perhaps have not been done that need to be implemented? Well, let's get busy doing that then. Not just talking about it, saying, well, we agree to it, but let's put it in action. Set some dates to get those things done. First things first. It'd do you no good to hear these things if you're not a child of God. If you don't do anything about it. First thing first, you need to obey and come to the Lord. I shared with you how to do that this morning by hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus is Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized into the one body of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord. You want to be restored, repent of those sins, make confession to God. We'll pray with you before you come right now.